The KGEZ Good Morning Show, Robin Mitchell and John Hendricks, and we welcome from the Big Four Community Players, Michelle is here. Hi, Michelle Shaviro.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, good.
I'm Robin.
And I recognize Charlotte. She was in the last production. Were you the nun?
Yes, I was Sister Mary Catherine.
That's what I thought, yeah.
The novice nun.
Charlotte Valancourt's with us, too. Good morning to both you guys.
Good morning.
So what's next, Michelle?
Well, our next production opening this Friday night is Neil Simon's Plaza Suite, which is currently playing on Broadway. So if you can't make it to New York, just come to Big Fork.
Yeah. So give us a little bit of the outline of Plaza Suite.
Well, this one's a little different for us. Neil Simon wrote this, and it's basically it's 3 one-act plays. So everything takes place in the same Plaza Hotel Suite, 719. But it's 3 different couples checking into that room for the night, you know, for the night of the performance, and 3 different stories. So it's each story is completely wrapped up in that act.
This is one room and
one hotel room, one suite at the Plaza Hotel in New York.
Sweet.
Yeah, so Charlotte is actually act one, and she is starring with Eric Myers, who's done quite a few productions with us.
Yeah.
And they are a couple that has been, I'll let Charlotte explain it.
They've been married either 23 or 24 years. They can't decide. And they are there to celebrate their anniversary, and then chaos ensues.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I thought, boy, I think I saw the movie version of this, and I was thinking it was Alan Alda, but it was Walter Matthau.
Walter Matthau, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
But, and then I'm in Act Two. John Garofsky and I are we are old high school flames.
Yeah.
And he is now a famous Hollywood producer, and he's come back to New York because he's got to do some business and so forth. Mm-hmm. And he gets in touch with me and wants to reminisce. And but he has other ideas, and I just want to reminisce.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the third act is Allison McCarthy and Scott Roskam, who have done quite a few productions with us as well. And they play a married couple whose 21, 22-year-old daughter is getting married downstairs in the big ballroom, and she doesn't want to come out of the bathroom.
Oh.
Now, it's interesting the way you describe this. She's 21, 22 years old, and they've been married, 23, 24 years?
Yeah.
Kind of approximate. They're not good with math.
Yeah. Are they? Exactly.
Now, did these 3 couples ever get together?
No, no. They, like I said, they're just completely separate stories.
So hotel suite number
is the story.
Is the carrier.
Is the carrier, yes. And the same, Ethan Waltman plays the waiter, bellhop, whatever. Uh-huh. He's the only character that is consistent throughout the entire play because he shows up in every act. Because obviously he's bringing their food, you know, their room service food. He's bringing their luggage in, whatever. But other than that, everything is completely wrapped up in the entire act.
Okay. How would we describe this? As a dramedy?
Dramedy. I mean, for the most part, it's all comedy. Her act gets really serious for like the last 3 pages. So there's your drama. The rest of it's just comedy.
Yeah. Get serious. You know, which one of you is right about the number of years?
There's definitely a lot of back and forth. They can't ever decide. And like when you read through the script, like she has no idea how old she is. And she calls her husband multiple different ages as well throughout the production.
Apparently she's not good with numbers.
Uh-huh.
Well, that could be good. You know, you can be 29 forever.
Hey, I know a few people that have tried that.
Tried it. I do it.
Do it.
Jack Benny, I was thinking about, I guess his was 39.
Yeah. No.
Well, I guess it's time for me to start being 29 because I'm about to turn 60. So,
yeah. I advanced at 59 and I stopped there. Yeah.
I think for a while I was like, this is the 20th anniversary of my 29th birthday. So
there you go. Sure.
Yeah.
So these productions are this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the following week?
Yes, we do 2 weekends, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, both weekends. The Friday and Saturday performances are in the evening at 7:30 p.m., And our Sunday performances are always a 2 o'clock matinee. Okay. So all at the Big Fork Center for Performing Arts.
And we should point out it's this really cool Big Fork Center for the Performing Arts.
Oh, we are so, for a community theater group, we are so lucky to have such a nice facility to work out of.
It's just the sound in there is just fantastic.
Oh, it's a great facility.
It's a technological marvel, and some of the things you're able to do with effects is pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you have to get in and you get the props or scenery or whatever you're going to have for it. How do you have access to the theater for rehearsals?
No, we actually have our own rehearsal facility down towards Woods Bay. I have a piece of property down there that has a shop on it that's 40 by 50.
Okay.
And so we actually build our set in the shop and use it during rehearsals so everybody knows where the doors belong and all of that kind of stuff.
But then thrill comes at the performance with the acoustics and...
Well, today starts what we call Tech Week. And that's when we're in the theater. Yesterday, we transferred the set from our rehearsal facility to the actual theater. And tonight will be our first rehearsal actually on stage with lights and microphones and all that. So the lights and the microphones are what tend to just throw the actors. The first rehearsal is always just awful because everybody's just like deer in the headlights. But they, it gives them all week. It gives them Monday through Thursday to relax with it and get used to the lights. And we dial everything in. And then by Friday, we have a flawless performance. Right, Charlotte?
Hopefully.
If not, you guys will work through the, it all happens on stage.
See, that's the joy of live performance.
That's right. And the main thing is the confidence and the attitude. I meant to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When somebody skips a line or half a page of lines and you have to sit there without the audience letting know, because they don't know that you've skipped a half a page.
Yeah.
So the only time that they're going to know is when all of a sudden there's dead silence and the two actors are staring at each other going, I don't know what to say. Do you know what to say?
Do you ever have to go back and ad lib to fill in some of the missing information
if we skip something that was very important to the story and we have to get it in, then you find a way to work it in without throwing your co-star off, because it's nerve-wracking enough. I mean, we're standing up there and we're memorizing 40 pages worth of dialogue and you're in front of an audience and you're like, you can't let on that you just messed up.
No. Michelle, normally you direct these. Who's going to direct in your stead this time?
So actually what's happening, because it is, as I said, it's 3-1 acts. I'm in act two. So, and Allison is in act, my co-director on this one is Allison McCarthy, and she's in act three. So together we're directing act one, which is Charlotte and Eric. And then Allison is directing my act, which is act two, and I'm directing her act, which is act three.
Okay, so you have two directors. Are there dueling directors, or
we've worked before. This is Allison's second production with the Community Players to direct. She assistant directed me when I did Hound of the Baskervilles 2 years ago, and then we actually work really well together.
Yeah,
okay, so.
I just wanted to make sure you weren't making Charlotte schizophrenic or something.
No, I would say it's definitely different for me. This is only my second production since a seventh grade production of Grease. So I think it's good because they both see different things.
Yeah.
They'll look for different things. Mm-hmm. And so they can point out different things. Like Allison will see one thing and then Michelle will see something else. And we put them together for a more well-rounded production.
All right. So what about that rascal David?
David is somewhat retired. I mean, he's mostly just doing production stuff with us, producer stuff. He still creates all of our print media and our posters and our tickets and all of that kind of stuff in the programs and so forth. But as far as directing and acting, he's kind of had to step back from that for family reasons. But he's around. He's always around. He'll be in tomorrow night during rehearsal to take action shots for our cast photos and so forth for the lobby.
But he
The former owner.
He's a gentleman of leisure now because he's no longer with the Pocket Stone.
Yeah, we sold the Pocket Stone a year ago, November 1st. So it's been kind of, we thought it was going to be a quiet year, but we stupidly bought an 8-acre mobile home park down in Woods Bay. We built 7 decks this summer and all this other stuff, and I'm exhausted.
I had breakfast or brunch at the Pocket Stone a while back, and they said, oh, he was just in here. He's in every day.
Every morning he goes, and that was in our sale contract with the new owners that Dave gets free coffee for life. So he comes in at 6 o'clock, 6:30 every single morning, and Paulette makes him his latte, and you know, and then he goes about his day.
Yeah, it was Paulette.
Yeah.
That I know.
That's it. He's a tough negotiator, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, real tough.
Michelle and Charlotte, thank you so much, and break a leg this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.